This is an encore presentation of Tokens.
Read a little thing I wrote called The Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my faith to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Yeah, my pseudonym, a group of men, it doesn't even matter. Nope. I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Hey, welcome. It's the Tokens Radio Show. It's Tuesday, April the 29th. I'm Christy.
I'm Linda.
Get to your mic, Linda. We're broadcasting from the KCNR studios on the dial at 96.5 FM and 1460 AM and streaming online at KCNR1460.com. You can follow us on X at Tokens Radio Show for updates and commentary. If you would like to opine on something, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
And hello, Ben. How
good
are you?
Good evening, Ben.
I'm doing good. How are you guys tonight?
Doing great. Good. Did you get those bookmarks straightened out?
Yes, we did. That was, you know, Sue in the morning when she does her news hour has a bunch of stuff on there that she saves, and that would have been really bad for her. So
yeah, she would not have been a happy camper.
No,
for
not at all.
No.
Yeah.
But we fixed it.
That's
good.
Right. Sue's
Yay.
A good lady. We want to keep her happy, happy.
Yes, she does a lot of good work here. So.
Yes, she sure does. Well, awesome. Thank you for being here and keeping us on track, as always.
Yeah.
We need that.
I like being here.
We certainly do need that. Well, oh, my goodness. Today, we're going to dive into one of the hottest crypto stories from last week. It's called 21 Capital. It's a new Bitcoin powerhouse backed by big names aiming to outshine Strategy. Yes, Strategy, formerly MicroStrategy. You know, Michael Saylor's company. With Bitcoin yes. And you'll hear this in the voices of some of the soundtracks we'll have. Anyway, keep you in suspense. So with Bitcoin grabbing headlines and big investors pile in, we're asking, is this the moment Bitcoin redefines global finance? So stick around for the full scoop and after a brief market update and a word from our sponsor.
All right. Well, Bitcoin is back up there a little bit. It's climbing back up.
It's back, baby.
Not all the way, but yeah. $94,401.63. Yeah. I look for it to break 100,000 again real shortly.
Well, Scott Bessent had been talking about what was happening of the deleveraging. So the investors had to deleverage, right? They were invested. They had to move things around. And where did it go?
Exactly.
Yes, in our favorite cryptocurrency.
Right. So, the rest of the market. IBIT ETF is at $54.22. ETH is at $1,801.99. XRP is at $224. And Strategy's at $381.45.
I almost stopped you on the IBIT ETF. It's gone up quite a bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
There's been quite a few inflows going into BlackRock's ETF.
Yeah, well, BlackRock's all over in the news on many levels. We're not saying they're all good, but they are.
We're going to talk a little bit about that later as well.
Yes.
What's going on?
All right. Our friends at Queen of Dragons, home of Fresh and Local, sponsors today's show.
Do they really?
Yeah, they do.
All right.
Took me a little bit, okay? They offer carefully cultivated unique strands.
We took the plug out. We plugged her back in.
With elevated experience, exotic genetics, and robust flavor. The Queen of Dragons is known for fair pricing, stringent quality control, and knowledgeable staff. Shop their selections and schedule a delivery at www.thequeenofdragons.com or stay connected by following at Queen Dragons on X or calling 530-276-9771.
Yeah, there you go.
Sometimes you just, you know, you have a little hiccup. You skip a little beat, you
know? Kick the cord out of the wall, right?
Exactly.
I hear that. A frequent occasion for myself.
It was that frequency. I didn't hit the right frequency.
Oh, my goodness. Well, as we were talking about just a few moments ago, Bitcoin surged over 10% this week, hitting $95,000. It was fueled by a weaker U.S. dollar and easing tariff fears. BlackRock's IBIT ETF drew nearly $1 billion in a single day, part of a $3.7 billion in U.S. Bitcoin ETF inflows, reflecting strong institutional appetite. Strategy, formerly MicroStrategy, added 25,370 Bitcoin to its reserves, while the Trump Organization announced its $1 billion Dubai Tower will accept Bitcoin for luxury apartments. 21 Capital, a $3.6 billion crypto venture backed by Cantor Fitzgerald, Tether, and SoftBank, launched to buy Bitcoin, raising $585 million and betting big on its rise. The UK drafted Bitcoin legislation for investor clarity, and the new SEC chair, Paul Atkins, pushed for pro-crypto rules. Bullish Bitcoin institution Standard Chartered forecast Bitcoin, here we go, at $120,000 by Q2, which is what, in June?
Mm-hmm.
And $200,000 by year-end. And Matrixport is eyeing $100,000 soon, which I think they're just being very conservative on that.
I think so, too.
Despite tariff-related dips, Bitcoin's fundamentals shine, backed by robust on-chain data and growing corporate adoption. So, you know, buckle up, everybody. You know, Bitcoin adoption is in full swing, and as we mentioned earlier, this week was a doozy as we see Bitcoin decouple from the stock market, just as Scott Bessent was talking about just a couple of weeks ago.
Right. It's almost like Bitcoin's throwing a party and everyone's invited.
Where's our party music?
Wall Street, SoftBank, even Tether. The big story is 21 Capital, Bitcoin powerhouse that's got everyone talking. We're going to break it down, keep it simple. And we might have a laugh or two. We might, who knows what we'll end up doing.
Let's see if this is... There we go.
Oh, there we go.
A little late on the button. There we go.
Hey.
Yeah.
But we got it in there. Party time!
Yes, indeed. So it is a big party. So, you know, picture this. A company launching with 42,000 bitcoins led by Jack Mallers.
Just hard to believe when you're talking about anything, 42,000 of it.
Yeah. It's amazing.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, and it's backed by some serious financial heavyweights. Do you think this is a game changer for Bitcoin or just another corporate flexing of the muscles? I don't know. What do you think?
I think, I don't know. So 21 Capital, I think it's going to be good, you know. But anyway, so 21 Capital, the ticker XXI.
Gee, 21.
Yeah, imagine that. Well, you know, I was going to say Roman numerals, and I'm thinking, how many of the younger people are listening, and would they know what Roman numerals were?
I don't know. Do you guys still talk about Roman numerals? Ben, you're a youngster compared to us.
I mean, not really, but...
So if we said XXI, would you think 21 or just XXI?
I don't know.
You put him on the spot.
Oh, thanks for playing. Yeah. Really appreciate it.
Anyway, with that, Bitcoin's native company going public via special purpose acquisition company, a merger.
It's a SPAC.
A SPAC.
Yeah.
Their mission, you imagine what it is? Stack as much Bitcoin as possible and give investors a direct way to own it through stocks. Think about who?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Michael Saylor's strategy, but leaner, meaner, and built from the ground up for Bitcoin.
Yeah, and Jack Mallers is the Strike CEO. He's going to be the CEO of this venture. He's going to be at the helm, and he is, he's always spoken so highly of Michael Saylor.
Oh, yes.
You know, you'll hear it in his voice and how appreciative and it's also a competitive type of thing too. I mean, Michael Saylor paved the way. And of course, I mean, what a compliment to want to compete and try to do better than that, right?
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he kind of welcomes it in his world too. No, and Michael Saylor.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't know if he wants to help a company that's going to
well,
be working against
him. Well, I'm not saying help
him,
but he's probably like up for the competition.
A respectful rivalry.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know?
So, you know, we love Jack Maulers. We think he's just a Bitcoin rock star. He's just always has said it like it is with a lot of bravado. And he helped El Salvador adopt Bitcoin. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Now he's got the big boys like SoftBank from Japan, Tether, and Cantor Fitzgerald backing him. And the gentleman at Cantor Fitzgerald, it's not Howard Lutkett. Lutnick, it's his son.
Yeah.
So that's like the Avengers of finance teaming up. I mean, that's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. So this is like, you know, Bitcoin has its superhero squad. Here they are now, you know. So let's set the stage with a clip from Jack Maulers himself talking about 21s different from the pack. So here we go. Short clip.
We've been so inspired by Michael Saylor and all of the public companies acquiring Bitcoin, but I would say over the last few years, that inspiration turned into what we thought was an opportunity and a hole in the market that we could deliver on, which is bringing blue chip credibility and startup upside. We feel like we can bring enough capital and be big enough to win. We're small enough to grow. And most importantly, a pure Bitcoin business. A lot of these companies, they're pivoting from a past operating business. They're rebranding, changing their name. They're maybe selling video games to buy Bitcoin or selling medical equipment to buy Bitcoin. Right. And we're a purpose-built Bitcoin company. We're going to build Bitcoin products, Bitcoin cash flow, and we're going to give Bitcoin per share growth to shareholders and be hopefully...
Catch the polite dig of changing our names, rebranding our names.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So very polite, and you could hear it in his voice of being ginger about what he was going to say. But they're also saying, you know, that we're going to basically be we're going to be more nimble. We're built Bitcoin specific. We're not changing our name to rebrand ourselves. We're starting out the gate this way.
Yeah, this and we're going to put the gas, you know, the pedal on the gas,
right.
I think.
Well, yeah, I don't know how strategy was in doing that. But in any case, you know, that voice you just heard was Jack Maulers, and that was him talking on a Bloomberg interview laying out the vision for this new venture called 21 Capital. It's a pure Bitcoin business, quotes, and no baggage, just Bitcoin. I don't know. What's your take, Linda? Is this the next big thing?
Yeah, it's pretty bold. You know, I mentioned, you know, they're starting at 42,000 Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Do you realize that's like $4 billion in today's prices?
Wow.
Maybe even a little bit more. So, you know, Bitcoin went up. So, I mean, yeah, they're not just holding it. They want to build Bitcoin products, loans, even maybe media. It's like they're saying Bitcoin's not just an asset, it's a whole new financial system, which we've talked about before. That's what we need is a whole new financial system anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have the new financial system. It's been in the works for a while now. I mean, I have to say, even before Trump got into office, we were working towards a new financial system. It just has to happen.
Yeah, right now we've got, you know, kind of two parallels going, but I can just see, you know, the fiat financial system just eventually going away.
I think so. I don't know if it's going to happen. We'll have some sort of form of fiat, maybe digital form of fiat. We're just going to have a couple of clips from this wonderful interview that had Saifedean
Amos.
Okay, I can never say his name, with Anthony Pompliano. And it just didn't fit in with the works today because, you know, the news of the day was 21 Capital. But
right. We
might bring more of that back because he does talk about the changing of the new financial system and how we're getting there and a little bit of sprinkling of Scott Bessent, which we didn't bring in today. So, sorry, you only have so much time, right?
An hour goes by really quick, you know.
So 21's taking aim at MicroStrategy. strategy, the company that's been the Bitcoin king with over 538,000 Bitcoins. That's a mountain to climb. Let's unpack this rivalry, which obviously was a line in the sand. Why does 21 think they can outdo Michael Saylor?
I don't know. Well, you know, strategy's been at it since 2020, mm-hmm. you know, and Saylor's a legend for turning his company into a Bitcoin vacuum. You got to wonder what that is going to do for the rest of us, this rivalry, you know.
I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, but 21 says strategy's too big, too slow, and weighted down by its old software business.
Ooh.
That's a bold statement. Very good, yeah. 21's lean, no legacy stuff, just Bitcoin and focus on Bitcoin per share growth.
You know, they have, Saylor's been laying out this blueprint for, you know, come and duplicate what I'm doing. He was at the round table with Trump,
yes.
laid it out for the Sovereign Wealth Fund, talking to other companies about it. And, gosh, these guys just said, let's start a company about it. Let's just do it.
Yeah, but, you know, they're not dumb people.
No, they're not.
You know, they're real hip. And like I say, what's this going to do for the Bitcoin world or the consumer, so to speak, in the Bitcoin world?
I think it's going to
be good for everybody across the board, the competition in some ways.
I think it's going to be good. It's going to raise the prices up, I do believe. But I also think, you know, it was the everyday folks like you and me who had the first crack at all of this. And now it's the institutional players that are involved.
That's true.
All the big players are in. It's like we've gotten to that point, like they've joined us.
Yeah, like we used to talk, they
right.
were fighting against us, and
right.
who wants to touch that stuff, and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Now they want to play in the sandbox with us.
Yeah. So Bitcoin per share, that's their big metric, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so going back to what 21 was saying is like Bitcoin per share growth. So what they're trying to do, instead of thinking of dollars, they want investors to think in Bitcoin terms. It's like saying, forget fiat. Your stock's value is how much Bitcoin it represents. It's pretty radical for a public company.
It is.
But it's also an indication of where we're going. I'm going to make a left-hand turn here. A couple years ago, we were talking with Patrick Hackham.
Right.
And using Litecoin as spending crypto.
Yeah,
right?
Like everyday purchases
right.
and everything.
And,
yeah.
And Litecoin was tied to debit cards and whatnot. And he would always talk about, well, it'll fill up my Escalade, cost me, you know, one Litecoin. You know, now it's costing me, when gas went up, it's like two
Litecoins.
And so, and he was saying back then that we need to be thinking in Bitcoin equivalents, Satoshis.
Right, right, yeah.
Because we are.
Because it is an education.
Mm-hmm.
It is to get comfortable being able to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm very weak on my Satoshi to Bitcoin conversions, but we have to really work on that.
Yeah, that's what we have things that do that for us. You push the button, right?
True.
But
we can convert, you know, how many pennies in a dollar, and we could do that right away. So we need to get to thinking Satoshis, like pennies, and yeah, there you go.
Well, they got some, you know, serious muscle behind them on this,
do,
you know.
They? Yeah.
SoftBank, the tech investment giant, Tether's the stablecoin king,
yeah.
and Cantor Fitzgerald got Wall Street.
Yeah, they do.
You know. I just wonder how much could Wall Street change if Bitcoin and stuff got interchanged. Could you, like, switch it out?
Well, I think everybody would want to have it. So they're going to either have it through ETFs, which many of them do now, but to actually have the physical coin and the digital coin,
yeah,
you know, and how they're going to custody that. So
it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
But what makes 21 different is, you know, they got all these players, all this muscle, where Strategy is a solo act. Right. And you can see why people are buzzing about this. So we got a clip. Here's Michael Saylor himself on what he and why he's not going to slow down on this. So let's give a listen.
Okay, here we go.
No, we'll just keep buying, right? The price is going to go up. It's going to get exponentially harder, and the price is going to go up exponentially higher, and we'll just keep buying. And at some point, you know, if we get to 5% of the supply, Bitcoin's probably going to be $1 million a coin. And if we get to 7.5% of the supply, Bitcoin will be 10 million a coin. Yeah. And then if I'm lucky enough to grind to 10% of the supply, Bitcoin's going to be 50 million a coin, and someone will be whining that whatever, we have too much Bitcoin, but other people will have $400 trillion of wealth.
Yeah, he's not. Well, go ahead, Linda.
Well, I was going to say, he's not messing around, but do you listen when he's talking? You know, if it goes to $1 million, we just buy more.
Right.
If it goes to 10 million, we just buy some more. It doesn't even, like, faze him.
Right.
But, you know, is it a big dream that he thinks it's going to be 10 million? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I just don't know. I can't say, you know, it's going so fast. Just look what's happened with the decoupling here in the last couple of weeks. So,
I mean, he's got a lot of confidence about this. He always has. Once he made the trip over with Bitcoin, he hasn't slowed down with his confidence or anything behind it.
And the smaller players like us, we still buy all the time, too.
So. Yeah, we do, too. We kind of, our thinking pattern about the price going up is a little bit different than
it's irrelevant. Just keep buying, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of like a David versus Goliath mentality. But David's got some fancy slingshots, and 21's got no old business to drag them
down.
Jack Mahler's is a Bitcoin purist. I don't know. Still, Strategy's got a 5-year head start and a 500,000 Bitcoins. It's going to be a heck of a fight.
Yeah, that's for sure. And our listeners, mature, savvy folks, know that it isn't just about the companies.
No.
It's about Bitcoin's role in the world, right?
Yep.
21 launches a signal. Big players are betting on Bitcoin. Is it the future? Not just a side hustle.
Yeah,
but we've talked about that before. Yep. You know, it is going to be a big deal. It's already working its way there.
Yeah, it's not a side hustle anymore. And
speaking
of big players, there's a deeper angle here. Some say this is part of a bigger shift, maybe even a speculative attack on the dollar. We're going to break into that after the break, but stay tuned for that.
We'll dig deeper after the breaks, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to Tokens Radio Show on 1460 AM. And 96.5 FM. We'll be right back in a few minutes.
Need help with your health insurance? We've got you covered. At Shasta Community Health Center, we offer this free service to our community. Our enrollment counselors can assist you with new applications, renewals, troubleshooting, and answering your questions about covered California plans or Medi-Cal, also known as Medicaid or Partnership Health Plan. We're here to help you make the best choice for you and your family. Call our outreach and enrollment team at 530-229-5117 to get help today. Shasta Community Health Center, because SCHC cares.
You have a choice when it comes to your cancer care, and I want you to know that at Valor Oncology, we are here to provide the best possible care right here in Reading. I'm Dr. Lauren Strickland, Valor's breast oncology surgeon, and I'm proud to serve this community that I call home. When you come to Valor Oncology, you'll see the same dedicated team at every visit, physicians who know your history and are committed to your care. We offer state-of-the-art technology that rivals major cancer centers, combined with the personalized care you deserve. We are not just a team of doctors. We are part of the fabric of this community, and we are here for you today and tomorrow. When it comes to your health, you deserve expert care, compassion, and stability. Ask your doctor to refer you to Valor Oncology, because we're committed to you and we're committed to Reading. Call 530-900-4000 or visit Valor.org to schedule a consultation. Valor Oncology, rooted and ready, focused on you.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
This is the encore presentation of Tokens.
Good day. Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, to provide the latest local updates. Reading faces pivotal changes as local leaders rally for a 2025 sales tax increase. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce and prominent entrepreneurs endorsed the measure to fund essential services like police, fire, and infrastructure, addressing budget deficits. Supporters argue it's crucial for the quality of life, but critics fear added burdens on residents. The proposal, needing voter approval, sparks debate over fiscal priorities, with community forums planned to gather input. The outcome will shape Reading's economic future. Shifting from fiscal debates to economic growth, Shasta County supervisors have approved rezoning near the Hawes Farm for a major amusement park. The project promises roller coasters and family attractions, creating jobs and boosting tourism. Developers envision a regional destination, but residents voice concerns about traffic and environmental impact. While permits and studies are pending, public hearings will address community feedback. If realized, this development could transform Shasta County's economy. Meanwhile, Reading's legal system is eyeing reform to enhance public safety. Top officials are considering a plan for the city attorney's office to prosecute low-level crimes like vandalism, easing the district attorney's workload. The proposal aims to reduce case backlogs and ensure swift justice, but requires new staffing and funding. The city council will review costs and benefits, with public input sought. If approved, this shift could streamline law enforcement efforts and improve community safety. Ending on a heartwarming note, a Shasta County teenager was honored for heroic actions during a violent family attack. The teen's quick thinking protected loved ones until police arrived, earning praise at a local ceremony. Authorities commended the youth's courage, highlighting resilience in crisis. The incident underscores domestic violence challenges, with calls for prevention programs. The teen's story inspires residents, showcasing the power of youth leadership and community spirit in Shasta County. Find more local stories on our social media, Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook, at Town Hall News on X, and mountaintopmedia.com. From all of us at Town Hall Brief, thanks for listening.
And we're back. Christy and I, before the break, We were talking about 21 Capital Launch and what it means for the Bitcoin world, you know, and the rivalry, the challenge between Strategy and 21. You know, how much are they going to go at one another over this? So we kind of zoomed in on them. Now let's zoom out and look at the big picture.
Yeah, okay. And it's huge. You know, some folks like Max Keiser and Jeff Park are calling this an intensification of a speculative attack on the United States dollar. And that sounds dramatic, but it's about Bitcoin challenging the fiat system. That's really all it is. So we have another clip here from Jack Maulers on 21's Bigger Mission. So
okay,
let's play
very
it out.
Short. Let's hear it.
We want our shareholders to get wealthier, get richer in Bitcoin terms, and our metrics encourage the market to view us not in fiat terms, in Bitcoin terms, because we're not here to necessarily beat the market. We're here to build a new one and encourage the world to adopt Bitcoin in the sense that we believe it hasn't yet.
Mic drop. Build a new market. Yeah, I think so. It's not a secret. It's just out in the open. Maulers isn't just playing Wall Street's game. He's rewriting the rules. I don't know, Linda, what do you think this speculative attack is all about?
Okay, well, maybe we should keep it a little simple.
Oh, please.
Okay. I mean, for some of us, we have to do this. The dollar's been king, right? Because the U.S. controls the global finances,
right.
Sanctions, SWIFT, you name it.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
We've been the power people.
Yep.
But when Russia's reserves got frozen in 2022, countries started looking for alternatives. They were like, maybe we should start looking into some other kind of powerhouses, so to
right.
speak.
Sure.
Bitcoin's decentralized, censorship resistant, and it can't be weaponized like the dollar was.
Yeah.
So?
Been saying that for years.
So 21 and Tether and SoftBank might be a Trojan horse for a post-dollar world.
I think that that is huge, and I think Tether is the wild card here. I mean,
I think so, yeah.
Look how, you know, how Tether's name has just gone from being one of those crappy coins.
In the mud.
Yeah, to being a world player like it is now. So, in case you didn't know, Tether is a stablecoin giant, but they're also buying Bitcoin and maybe even mining it. They used to, on their balance sheet, used to have corporate bonds backing them up, and now they have hard assets. They've got good assets backing their balance sheet.
They didn't have that to start
They're very questionable. And Jeff Park on X says SoftBank and Tether are aligning for a full system redesign with Bitcoin at the core. That's just not crypto hype. It's global finance shifting. And
it is happening. SoftBank's got ties to Japan's capital. Tether's a workaround to the U.S. banking system.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked earlier about Cantor's got the Wall Street connection.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, so it's like they're building a bridge, you know, from the old system to a Bitcoin one.
Yeah.
You know, our listeners over 40 get this. I hope. I think they do. They've seen currencies come and go. Bitcoin scarcity makes it a contender. And I just had the conversation, I guess, when somebody, we're talking about Bitcoin, and then when I said, you know, but one of the big difference is the 21 million, and they said, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
They still get that reaction from a lot of people.
Yeah, it's funny. Left turn again.
Here we go, Clyde.
From my appointment earlier today, I have a name of somebody that I'm supposed to call. It's in my back pocket. You just made me think about that. Who is new to Bitcoin, 71 years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and started with Coinbase. Go, well, we need to do something about that. So,
come talk to us.
Yeah, she's going to buy me a cup of coffee. So
oh,
there
very
you go.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, I just told her, I'd like to see you get off of Coinbase. Do what you're doing, but do it somewhere else.
Yeah, at least she's, you know, investigating.
Yeah, so it's really cool.
Yeah.
So, and her deal was, I want some security. She goes, I'm 71 and I'm still working. And I go,
yeah, what's wrong with this picture?
Yeah. So kudos to you to be able to still work. That's wonderful.
Yes, that's true.
If you want to, yeah. So speaking of scarcity, Bitcoin's been acting like a safe haven lately, decoupling from stocks. You know, Scott Bessent's been talking about that. It's up 3-4% while the S&P's flat. So let's hear from Lynn Alden and why this might keep going.
Yeah, good old Lynn.
Yes, here we go.
Bitcoin, I think, will get shoved around by volatility. As this kind of settles a little bit, if you do get ongoing capital outflows of the U.S., that actually could be good for Bitcoin. So sometimes people ask, what could make Bitcoin more meaningfully disconnect from the NASDAQ? Well, one is anything that hurts NASDAQ margins but that does not hurt global liquidity. Generally be somewhat supportive of Bitcoin minus certain particularly volatile periods, but then it more structurally impairs the NASDAQ, the S&P 500. We saw similar to this in the closest period to maybe look at or study is the 2003 to 2007 period. That was the prior weaker dollar cycle. There wasn't this kind of like mass exodus to capital, but there was around the margins. Capital went to emerging markets. Capital went to commodities. Capital went to gold. Capital went to these other assets. And so U.S. stocks were not really the place to be, and a lot of other assets were. And I think if we encounter like a five-year period like that again, that could be a period where Bitcoin does pretty well, even as stock market, the U.S. stock market, doesn't do particularly well.
Well, there's Lynn calling it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bitcoin's starting to act like gold,
yeah.
A hedge against the weakening dollar.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the tariffs right now, trade wars, capital's flowing out of the U.S., and Bitcoin's catching a bid.
Yeah.
What do you think, Christy? Do you think we might, you know, I said 100,000 earlier. What about 135,000 here pretty soon?
Well,
like some of the analysts say.
Well, some of the analysts were calling for $200,000 at the end of the year. So I think it's plausible for sure. And if this keeps going the way it is, I also think that if we get these trade deals signed, which, you know, Trump's team is working around the clock to make that happen. I think he's got, what, 70 countries that want to sign a deal and about 18 that are being looked at solidly right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, that could be huge.
A little bit different than what people thought when he first started introducing the tariffs.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
So I'm not calling out prices, but Bitcoin's at $95,000 right now, and it's up from $63,000 a year ago. It's climbing, and with players like 21 piling in, the momentum's there. It's just not about price anymore. It's about Bitcoin becoming a global reserve like Saifedean Ammas talks about.
Yeah, well, Saifedean is a legend. He's been buying Bitcoin, or saying to buy Bitcoin. He hit $100 trillion, you know, that it would market cap it someday.
Yeah, I think it's possible.
You know, pushing out fiat currencies. You know, so we do have a little clip on that. So let's take a listen to this, to why Bitcoin's the answer to the money printer problem.
Oh, I don't have a money printer.
I don't have a problem.
Sound effect, but anyway, here's Saifedean. Here we go.
Okay, Saifedean.
It doesn't make sense. When you've got a money printer, the only reason you want to have it is just so that you can get free stuff. Now, getting free stuff is not a good thing because it's destroying the industrial capacity of the country. It's destroying the ability of people to work. It's destroying all the, not all, but it is, it's not conducive to the growth of industry in the US. So you do want to fix that. And so the way to fix that for me is to get rid of the money printer. The way to fix that goes back to Bitcoin.
He has a familiar voice, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
So let's see. Would it be like the Ukrainian president?
No.
You don't think so?
Maybe.
You got to have a printer. You got to have a money printer.
I wish we did. Well, no, I don't wish we had
a
money printer.
Well,
but
we already have one.
Well, yeah, but we don't get to start it up because we go to jail if we start one up.
But our country's got a money printer.
Well, yeah.
Just take out a loan. There you start printing money.
That's true. Just do a loan. No problem.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've got, you know, probably like 10 minutes or so left.
Yeah.
You know.
A little bit more long.
Yeah, a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about Bitcoin, and I wonder where we're going to, you know, where is it going to go from here with 21 it doing its thing? That's a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the trend is getting bigger and bigger as we go. You know, Bitcoin's getting faster and getting in the mainstream more. I'm starting to hear it on certain things. Every once in a while, you'll hear it, like, on the TV, a little thing. Even financial people, once in a while on the radio, you'll hear the price of Bitcoin today, where you never even heard them speak of it before.
It's just part of everyday news now. We were explaining this to somebody the other day. It's kind of like, in the last 100 days since Trump became president, all right, prior to that, it was, will Bitcoin make it? You know, all of the SEC rules, and, you know, they're going to shut it down. And since he came in, it's just like hands wiped. Everything's good. It's on the board. We're moving forward on this thing. It's everyday business now.
Yeah, I don't know. I notice when I do, like, flip through the channels on sports things, you're starting to see.
Sure.
Stadiums got Bitcoin or named after, you know, with Bitcoin stuff. Race cars has got Bitcoin.
Yeah.
You got all this different advertising type of stuff that is starting to come out more and more with Bitcoin on it.
Yeah, it is. The adoption is here. So Anthony Pompliano has been shouting it from the rooftops. If you haven't listened to his podcast or read his pieces every day on Substack, it's definitely worthwhile. He's a Bitcoin maximalist, definitely bullish about it, and a reputable financial guy. So, but anyway, he's been shouting from the rooftops like I've been talking about, and Wall Street's hooked on Bitcoin's volatility. And sovereign wealth funds are buying ETFs. They're booming, and now 21's bringing in the big guns. Pomp says Bitcoin's a black hole for capital. What are your thoughts, Linda?
I don't think he's wrong.
Yeah.
Bitcoin is sucking the money from everywhere. You got to stop and think. It's sucking it out of the public markets, private markets, the debt.
Yep.
Equality.
Yep. Equity, yeah.
And equity.
All the equity markets, yeah. Yeah.
And 21's $585 million is just the start.
Mm-hmm.
And with the U.S. holding Bitcoin as a strategic reserve, it's not just a crypto thing anymore. It's a global financial thing.
Oh, it is. Do you remember Bitcoin Ben?
I do.
Okay.
I was thinking about him the other day about his red M&Ms.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, Bitcoin Ben used to talk about Bitcoin sucks inflation. It's kind of like a big whale in the ocean just sucking up all, if you think about the ocean being inflation, Bitcoin just sucks it all up. So another way of thinking about that is how many Bitcoin does it take to buy a median-priced home today? Whereas 4 years ago, how many Bitcoin would it take?
Right.
It takes less Bitcoin to buy a medium-priced home today because
correct.
It is Bitcoin's value has sucked up all those inflationary dollars, raised its value to where it is. So you might need one. Well, let's say you'll need four Bitcoin to buy a $400,000 home, thereabouts.
Yes, at today's prices.
Okay. 4 years ago, it might have been, what, 100 Bitcoin?
Probably.
I don't know. I'm just throwing a number out there. But
something
significantly
like that.
More than 10, that's
exactly
for sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's
so,
like we talk about the guy with the car and everything like that, you know, that sold his Bitcoin. But you got to look at it that you're taking bad dollars and chasing good money.
Right.
Well, it's kind of what
we're
you're
not
going
to have this opportunity much longer. So
that's true.
Yeah. Might as well take the printing press dollars and buy the safe assets.
Yeah. Instead of the other way around. Usually we have bad money, you know, good money chasing bad money. Now we have the reverse going.
Yeah. I don't know how much good money we've had chasing anything, really, but in any case, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So
we've got this tariff mess that's going on. It's a little messy, and it's going to be fine. And Trump's trade war is shaking things up and is pushing countries to rethink the dollar. Now, Saifedean Ammas says tariffs are a mistake. I'm not sure I agree with him, but he's a smart dude. And he thinks it's hurting American consumers more than anyone else. But here's his take, and, you know, opinions are worth it. You know, so let's hear what he has to say.
Let's take a listen.
Okay.
Tariffs are essentially they're a punishment by the government to its own people primarily. So if the U.S. imposes tariffs on Chinese goods, the main people that are hurt are the American consumers who rely on those Chinese goods and foreign goods. And the second order effect is to hurt the Chinese businesses. The Chinese businesses are hurt less than American consumers because Chinese businesses still have the entire rest of the world to sell to. And the U.S. is only 4% of the world's population. And, you know,
they buy a lot of stuff, though.
They do buy a lot of stuff, but still, it's, no, what is it, 10%, 15% of the world's, it's 12% of China's exports, which is, you know, it's the biggest importer from China, but it's, there's still 88%.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of a different take on it, you know, with it.
I got to say, it's a take I've heard by the folks who don't agree with Trump.
Right. You know?
They're not tariff friendly.
Well, let's say the tariffs are backfiring.
Okay.
That even makes me look at Bitcoin even more.
Right.
You know, because it's better. It's neutral. It's a global asset.
Right.
You know, so what do you think, Christy? What should the listeners take away from all this?
I don't know. You know, I think about this when he was talking about, you know, it becomes a tax on the consumer. Well, that is a true statement if you are relying on foreign goods. But that's
right.
The purpose of having the tariffs is to become more reliant on American-made goods.
That's true.
So if it's made in America, you're going to get a better buy. And generally, as it has always been, if it's made in America, except for some things, they're generally better made products. And there's a lot of reasons if you're buying from our own country. You know, there's a lot of metrics that go into that as to why it would not be a tax. But if you do want cheap Chinese stuff, not a dig on that, but Chinese market makes a lot of cheap crap that falls apart. We throw it out. It goes in our landfills. And perhaps if we made better quality stuff and we bought it here at home, would it really be a tax?
Well, no, but and that would give us an option.
Gives us an option. It's like
we
buying
don't really
Fuji
have
water or buying Crystal Springs.
Exactly. We don't have that option. That option's gone away for quite a while now.
Yeah.
We've only had the option
of buying
from China.
Correct.
Wouldn't it be nice that you go to the store or whatever and you can look around and go, no, I want that.
Look at our small business owners, you know, that are just clamoring to make a living, and they're being outcompeted by these unfair trade practices. So I get what he's saying for sure.
Right.
And that is one side of the narrative, but there is another side of the coin.
And that's where Trump's coming from.
Exactly.
Is so we can be more self-reliant. We can protect ourselves. We can produce what we need to produce. What happens if we go to war or whatever? That's something you have to look at. Under the circumstances, what do we have in this country that we can help ourselves with? Not a whole lot.
We're kind of in a conundrum there, from pharmaceuticals to wafers. I mean,
pharmaceuticals, because almost everybody's pharmaceuticals or prescriptions come out of China.
A lot, yeah. Or India.
But, I mean, to get the ingredients and everything.
Oh, that's true.
Over,
yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And look how reliant so many people, especially the elderly, are on that. What happens if we can't get those?
Right.
And we could make them better in our country.
Yeah. It's like rare earth minerals and all of that.
Yeah.
So, which, by the way, they just found a large store in Arkansas. I don't know if you heard about that.
Oh, no, I didn't.
It was kind of huge. It's a big store of rare earth minerals, so it's good. So,
isn't that what we want for Greenland for?
We want more.
More.
You know, our audience have seen economics. I know many of you who are of the mature class have seen a lot of economic cycles. I know we've lived through a few of them ourselves, probably, what, 4 or 5?
Yeah.
You know,
when you stop and think about it.
So 21's launch is a sign that Bitcoin's not just a fad. It's a hedge against a shaky dollar, one that gets more and more shaky, you know, as I think some of these economic cycles were manufactured. They don't happen naturally.
No.
It's when the Fed messes with interest rates and stuff. So it's a play for big investors and maybe a new monetary system. I don't know whether you're stacking sats or just watching. This is a history in the making. But stack the sats.
Yes, stack them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just about 21 versus strategy. It's about, you know, Bitcoin's fixed supply of the 21 million coins. That's it. No more.
We're, you know, just a shy under 20 million mined at this point. And we've got, what, until 2140 before they're completely mined. So it's just a little bit that's getting mined every 10 minutes.
Yeah. So, and then as long as, you know, the fiat printing press is going whoop, 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 you know, Bitcoin's going to keep climbing in value. You know, that's why companies like 21 are all in.
Yeah.
They're seeing that.
There's going to be more. I mean, we're already. I just think it's interesting that SoftBank decided to do a partnership rather than enter in on their own. They're already doing a big deal with the United States, but I think that this is a big, big deal for them to be involved. So, I don't know. You got any last thoughts on this?
Yeah, just maybe, you know, Bitcoin's not waiting for permission.
No.
You know, it doesn't have to.
Yeah.
It's going to do its thing. 21's proof that big players are catching up. They're coming into the game. And keep learning, stacking, and keep listening to the show. Yeah. You know, that's some of it. You know, again, keep stacking. I can't, you know, say that enough. and I was having a conversation with the same person that didn't realize there was only 21 million, and we said it many times, you can buy at any amount. People still go, I don't have to buy a whole coin. No, Linda, it's Satoshi.
That is a fantastic point. The same thing with this lady who's in my back pocket right now. Same thing. She showed me her Coinbase account, and I was telling her, you don't show me that. Okay. But she goes, I have a little bit in there. And she goes, I can't buy this whole thing. I said, but I go, can you buy parts of a dollar? And she thought, she goes, well, yeah. I go, can you buy 30 cents out of a dollar if you want 30 cents? And she goes, yeah. I go, you could do that with Bitcoin.
Right.
So she goes, well, I got a little bit here, but she didn't know how she got it. She goes, do you think Coinbase paid me this?
I don't think
so. I go,
so.
I don't really think so.
Coinbase usually isn't your
somehow
friend.
Somehow you got 40 bucks in there, but that's good. That's good. But that is such an important point.
Yeah.
That you can buy units. When you go buy gold, you're not always looking to buy a gold bar.
Well, yeah, a lot of us can't even afford a gold.
Silver?
A gold coin, so to speak.
Correct.
Yeah.
So you're buying units. So it's kind of a shift in the brain. It's thinking differently, but you can buy units of Bitcoin. You could buy units of any kind of cryptocurrency. You don't have to buy the whole thing. I mean, if you're talking like XRP or something, it's pretty easy to buy something to $2.40, right?
Right.
But,
you know, you make a good point because I remember back in the day, like with gold, I bought some gold and it was done by the gram.
Right. It's still
That's
is.
The unit.
Right.
Yeah, the unit measurement was because you couldn't afford it and it wasn't near the price it is now, but you can still buy grams of it.
Right.
A little bit's better than nothing.
That's correct. Well, there are other things sold in grams, too, but did I just say that? Shame on me.
But the point being, like we've talked before, is anybody can get in on this. Bitcoin doesn't care how much money you make. It doesn't care where you come from. Doesn't care what... you know, language you speak, what color you are, or any of that.
It just can't be messed with, and that's really what torques the big five governments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't go, oh, you know what, you got Bitcoin and I don't, so I'm going to start up the printing press like they do with the fiat dollar or whatever.
Or I'm going to come attack your country and take it.
Well, there's that too. Because I want my grams. Stuff.
I don't know. I think Bitcoin's kind of like a fine wine. It gets better and better with age. And we've got companies here that, like 21, that's uncorking the bottle.
Yeah, so. And I think people are starting to wake up, get more educated, get more interested, not having the fear. It's just like anything. Change kind of, everybody has a little bit of fear with change to start with. It just is, that's our nature.
So go back to the gram analogy, just grams to Satoshis. Mm-hmm. So, a different name, right? So
exactly.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah. So grains, grams, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So that's the way it would work. So.
But wouldn't you like to have a few?
Oh, yeah.
Than nothing?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, don't sleep on that, right?
Yeah. I'm not going to sleep on it.
No.
But like I say, I think the
You'll
world
sleep
is
better. You'll sleep better because you have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And like I say, I think people are waking up a little bit more, getting a little bit more educated.
What's your final thoughts?
Just stack them. Mm-hmm. Set them and, you know. Set them and forget them.
Set
that's
them and
what,
forget them.
That's what I keep saying, you know, just set it and forget it.
It's a good plug for Swan Bitcoin, which is one of our favorites. You can go ahead and set it and forget it. Put a little bit of cash in there. Buy every day, buy once a week, buy once a month, whatever the case is. Set it, and then when we say set it and forget, you'll just tell them, hey, I want to buy $5, $10 a day, a week,
exactly.
Or whatever, and just set it up, and then we'll take care of it for you.
Anybody can do it.
Yeah.
So. Until next time, I guess we're about to the end of the show.
Ben,
thank
you.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Yep,
for
always.
Keeping us on track. And, We will see you next week. Remember, the financial world waits for no one.
That's right.
Now climb aboard, y'all. This train is bound for glory.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.